right, and now we're going to turn it over to Brother Sprinkle. You know, but when we think about Brother Sprinkle, I know that I think this about him, and I know many of you do as well. We think of faithfulness and stability. We think about someone who's very faithful to God and to the house of God and to the people of God. So it is once again a great pleasure to hear Brother Sprinkle. Are you there, Brother Sprinkle?
Yes, I am, Brother Victor.
And before you get started, I should let you know, I think I hear something in the background. It might sound like a dog or something out in the window barking. I'm not too sure, but you just might want to see if you can close that window or that door, whatever that may be, sir.
Okay. He's good for the moment.
All right. Sounds good. Go ahead, Brother Sprinkle.
Okay. Gloria a Dios, mis hermanos. That's a little Spanish for good evening or hello to my Spanish brothers and sisters. And just hope everybody's doing good. It's been a nice warm Monday. Appreciate that. So first I'd like to give honor to Pastor and Sister Clark, how great of an example they are to me, and I'm sure to the church as well. Truly, church, they are a gift from God to his church at this time, and I'm thankful for them. So, tonight I'd like to talk about Joseph. I think Pastor has preached about Joseph lately, and I think Sister Jeannie has as well, but I like this story, for it has a lot of meaning to me, impact in my life since I started in the church, and Joseph, you can read about him. It's in Genesis 37 through all the way to chapter 50. And Joseph was 17 years old. Where starts talking about him in chapter 37. And he was the 11th of 12 sons of Jacob. So imagine Jacob. Let's think about Jacob for a second. Jacob. He had 12 sons, and of course, Jacob had four wives. And Sister Clark, I know the other day you talked about two are better than one. I don't know if Jacob, I don't know how he did it with five. That'd be five better than two, I should say. But anyways, on that matter, I just want to bring that up because you can probably imagine the struggle that Joseph had growing up. He was in verse 3, it says about Jacob, whose name is Israel. It says that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And verse 4 says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And so, after that, Joseph, he was known as the dreamer, and he had some dreams that he told his brothers about. And basically the interpretation of those dreams was that someday they would bow down to him. And so he had another dream, and the same thing happened. Well, this interpreted that his mother and dad and brethren would someday bow to him. And so they hated him yet the more. But Jacob, he pondered his dreams. And so, as we move on, so the day came, Jacob asked his son Joseph to check on his brothers. They were out tending the flock. And so he was on his journey to go see how the flock was and his brethren. And when they saw him coming, they say, here comes that dreamer. And they caught him. They stripped him of his coat of many colors. Then they cast him into a pit. And finally, they were trying to figure out what to do with him, and they finally sold him to a company of Ishmaelites that were on their way down to Egypt, and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Now, you know, the Lord, they sold, Judah sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But Joseph is a perfect type of Christ, and that what he went through, just like our Lord. And so at that time, Joseph was 17 years old, and they took that coat, the brothers took that coat from off him, and of course they killed an animal and put blood on it, and they took it back to their father, and they showed their father Jacob, "Does this belong to your son?" And Jacob said, "Yes, that's my son's coat. Surely he's been taken out by a beast or a wild animal." And Jacob, he couldn't be comforted. He was very sorrowful. He put sackcloth on him, and he mourned, and he just felt so bad for a long time. So finally, those Ishmaelites took Joseph down to Egypt, and they sold him to one of Pharaoh's officers, and his name was Potiphar. And so basically, he was a slave there, a servant, and he was a slave, and he worked for Potiphar. But he made Joseph basically overseer over his whole house, because he saw that the Lord was with him. So the Lord blessed that Egyptian's house, Potiphar's house. The Lord blessed him because of Joseph's sake. See, God's hand was on Joseph. And he put everything in Joseph's hands. The only thing he kept from Joseph was his wife. And one day, Potiphar went out of town or did some business, and we find that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes on Joseph. You know, he's a well-favored young man. And she said to Joseph, "Lie with me." But Joseph said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Right? And so on, days went by and on, and one day she caught him by his coat saying, "Lie with me." And basically he just took off. He left that place, but she grabbed onto his garment and he took off. He fled from her. So you know the story. When Potiphar returned, she made up a lie that he tried to rape her, and so basically he was put into prison for that. And so Joseph was put into the king's prison, and we all probably have read the story, but it's an awesome story. And so as he was in that prison, the Lord was with Joseph, and basically God's hand was still on him. God's hand was still on him, the dreamer. And so one day, Pharaoh put his butler and baker in the prison because they did something that was bad, I guess. And so they were in prison where Joseph was. And so one day, they both had a dream. And when Joseph saw them the next day, he saw that their countenance was sad. And he says, "What's the matter?" And he said, the two of them said, "We had a dream and we can't interpret it." And so basically, Joseph ends up interpreting their dreams. And it came to pass, the butler was restored to his butlership to Pharaoh, and the baker, he was hanged. And so their dreams that Joseph interpreted came to pass. And when the butler left, he said, "Remember me, remember me." And so it was about 2 years later, he was still there, and life was going on. And the butler was returned to his job, and he's doing it, he's happy. And one day, Pharaoh had dreams, and these dreams really troubled Pharaoh. And the butler saw that Pharaoh had these dreams, and he remembered finally, 2 years prior, that Joseph interpreted his dream. So when he told Pharaoh about it, he sent for Joseph. And when Joseph was standing in front of Pharaoh, he said, it is not for me, but God hath showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. There's going to be 7 years of great plenty, then there's going to be 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge because there was no other person that could handle what was going to take place. And so he gathered in the 7 plenteous years. They made storehouses and stored the food because the day was coming when the famine was going to hit the land. And that day did come to pass. There was so much food at first, there was no place to put it all. And then the famine came, and it said that the famine was in all the lands, and it was basically a drought. And so when there was a drought, no food could be grown. And so Egypt had food, but the rest of the countries around about didn't. And so when Jacob, Joseph's dad, they heard that there was corn or food down in Egypt, and he sent his 10 sons to Egypt. And when they got there, Joseph, he was governor over all the land. So when his brethren came before him, guess what happened? His brethren bowed before him. They bowed their faces to the earth, just like the dream he told them when he was 17 years old. Now they hated him for all that. But they didn't recognize Joseph because Joseph, you know, he was dressed like an Egyptian. And so at that time, Joseph, when he saw his brethren, he remembered the dreams he had when he was young. So it came to pass, basically, after Joseph, I'm going to skip a little bit, but Joseph tested his brethren to whether they were true men. And there was a lot to it, but finally, in chapter 45 of Genesis, it says this, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him," that was talking about his brethren, "and he cried, cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him. While Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth not my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years more, in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house, and the ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. And so, church, I want to talk about chapter 45 here that I just read. It was when I was a new convert. I was 22 in church. You know, I had the brethren, but you know, it was times when I read this book of Genesis, in this chapter, and the story of Joseph, it made such an impression on me. It made such an impression on me. And there were times I read it, and when Joseph wept, and I could just read this story and feel it and weep myself before the Lord. Because, church, I was raised in a broken home. I didn't have a family in church. And you know what? When I got in church, you feel God and you're saved, but you have a lot of scars that we carry along with us. And with stories like this, when I felt the power of God, you know, and just reading about Jacob and his family, that they were troubled just like we are, and they had problems. But look at Joseph, after all these years, wept and said, "You did this to me, but God really did this for you. He sent me ahead." And it was stories like this, church, that really got me to pray and seek God when I read stories like this and then feel God's presence. Like my wife said this morning, I believe she said, it was like the bucket of the Holy Ghost was like on you. When you read stories in the Word of God like this and you feel God's anointing and you have problems and you seek and you're praying for your loved ones and your family, this gave me hope and faith that I can pray for my family in a day just like this would take place for my family. And I believe, church, it can happen for you, amen, and anybody, because God's word is true. Praise God, praise God. And so, church, finally, after all of that, after Joseph revealing himself to his family and saying, "Is my father yet alive?" And he calls for his father, and Jacob and all the family come from Canaan land. And when they went home, they said, "Joseph's alive, Joseph's alive." And Jacob couldn't believe it. You can imagine the power of this story. Amen. When that took place, and all of Israel came out, and they settled in a land called Goshen. It's a place in Egypt where there was very luscious land, where all their cattle and people could live and prosper. But all of Egypt was basically a desert. But this place that God provided for Jacob and the family, and how he used Joseph to be sustained, it was a beautiful land. And so I looked up the meaning of Goshen, right? And the first reference it stated, it was a land occupied by the Israelites before the Exodus. But this second reference is what caught my eye. It says, it is a land or a place of plenty. Praise God, praise God. And so, church, today, you know, we're living in perilous times. You know that the signs are all around us. And the disciples said to the Lord, "Lord, what are the signs of your coming?" And he said, "There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famine. There's going to be pestilences." Things kind of what we're going through today. And so, I don't know who's listening. I don't care if you're on the mountain. I don't care if you're in the valley. If you're backslidden, I just want to give hope that God, this church that we're in this world. But church, I want to tell you and remind us that we're in the church of the living God in this world. And so the church, amen, not this world, we're in this world, we're not of this world, but there's a place that we are. The church is like the land of Goshen. And that second reference I read in the dictionary said, it's a land of plenty. Amen. And so this church we're in, it's really, we're living the more abundant life, the spiritual life. And that's what I wanted to talk about tonight, that this book, this chapters that I've talked about tonight helped me when I was a new convert. That's why we need the Word, and it was the Word. And I would read stories like this, and then I would feel God. And Brother Art said, it's like rain that's hitting your body. That's the presence of God. And it was when I felt these things that it helped me to get into this Word more. And when I would feel God, I knew I had my own problems in life or scars or whatever. So it's encouraged me to pray. And so this combination of prayer and the Word of God is something that will make our lives plenteous, and that's the church. We're called out. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. But God is sustaining us. And so, church, I just wanted to encourage somebody tonight. And no matter what state we're in, we're doing good, we're not doing so good. We have some problems, we're working on some things. Let's be encouraged and be reminded of what this story is telling us, that God is with us. Amen. And there's a land of plenteousness in the church. Amen. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm just thankful. And Brother Victor, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Jeff Sprinkle. What a powerful story we heard tonight, church, about the story of Joseph. So many lessons in that story. And as Brother Sprinkle was talking, I couldn't help but to think of what a message of forgiveness there is in that story and what a message of deliverance in that story. Brother Sprinkle mentioned about Goshen. It means plenty. You know, in the world right now, there's plenty of need and trouble. But in God's kingdom, we have plenty of peace and joy. There's peace and joy in the kingdom of God. Thank you once again, Brother Jeff Sprinkle, for the great word. And yes, you heard it at the very beginning. Brother Jeff Sprinkle has some very good Espanol. The little that I've heard from him, he says it very, very well. What an encouragement there as well. Well, with that said, everyone, we're going to go ahead and why don't we just pray right now? Why don't we thank God for the great word that we heard from Brother Jeff Sprinkle tonight? Let's pray together and thank God for it. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this great word, this great message that Brother Jeff Sprinkle has given us tonight, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to think on it, to meditate on it, and to pray on that, Lord God, and help it to be an encouragement to everyone. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. And everyone said, amen. And with that said, church, we want to remind everybody that we are going to have our morning manna devotion tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m. with Sister Cindy. We are looking forward to it. And with that said, we want to wish everyone a good night. God bless you. We'll see you in the morning. Praise the Lord.